How refreshing, huh? David wants to teach tonight. Let's just pray and just let the Lord minister to us tonight, huh? Father, just thank you, Lord, that you are the only way, the only truth, the only life. The only one that we need is you, Lord. You working in and through our lives, you touching us, changing us, conforming us, ministering to us, encouraging us, correcting us, Lord. All those things that you do. You've saved us. You've given us real life. You continue to save us from ourselves. You continue to draw us to yourself. Lord, your work is endless. And you tell us the work that we have to do is to believe in you. Oh, Lord. Some days that seems harder than others, but we know it's only by your grace, only by your working, Lord, that we can even do that. I ask that you just settle us, Lord, from the day, settle us from the things that have distracted us today. Settle us, Lord, not to cast away what you want to do, but settle us so that we can hear you. How we need you, Lord. Thank you for your great love, your work on the cross, the privilege of worshiping our King. We thank you for it, Lord. We do ask for your blessing on Dan and Jackie and the family, Lord, as they've gone through a hard month here, a hard year. Lord, just thank you for the good reports. Ask for your comfort for the hard reports, Lord. Pray that you'd minister to them, for the family, especially today after burying a brother, a dad, a friend. Lord, ask that you would just comfort and bring salvation if they don't know you. And we do pray for traveling mercies for Dan and Jackie tomorrow as they go to see their son and daughter and in-law and kids, that you just bless them, bless their time, refresh them, Lord, strengthen them, give them new vision in your ways for their lives, Lord. And just thank you. Ask that you just speak to us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Isn't it great when you can just kind of get lost in prayer and just keep going? It just, oh Lord, just keep doing that. Revelation chapter 9, if you would. We're going to get in there tonight and see what's going on. Remember, John has is seeing this. He's writing this down. The oldest apostle, the only one left, and he's in exile, probably figuring he's done and nothing else is going to happen. And here Jesus meets with him on this deserted island and gives him such a great revelation of things to come, prophetic and yet tied so much together with everything in the Old Testament. That's why it's so important to know our Bibles, because there's so much information in the Old Testament and up until Revelation that give us insight into Revelation. And so continue to read every day and continue to get in the Word, because it's so important. Remember the last time we were in chapter 8 and we started the trumpet judgments. We've gone through the seal judgments. We opened the seventh seal and that started the trumpet judgments, and it's going to be the same way as we finish up the trumpet judgments. The seventh one is going to bring on the vial judgments, not V-I-L-E, but V-A-I-L, vial judgments, and progressively getting worse as we go. Certainly not an easy chapter, but hopefully as we get through the next couple of chapters, then we can start seeing some fresh and new stuff and just see what the Lord has. But these are things that the world is going to face. These are things that the world who don't know Jesus are going to face. We know that there's going to be many saved during this time, an innumerable company coming to salvation. It's just too bad they had to wait till this to get saved. And oh, how our hearts break, don't they, for those around us, our relatives, our co-workers, our neighbors who don't know Jesus, who don't want to know Jesus, and we know what they're facing. And it breaks your heart, and I know it breaks the Lord's heart. But the last chapter, chapter 8, we went through the first four trumpet judgments, and we went fairly quickly. They went fairly quickly. In fact, in five verses, we went through all four judgments. So they were quick. And then at the end of the chapter, it says, "And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven." Can you imagine? saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe." Because of the last three judgments to come, the angel is crying out, "If you've survived all of this, watch out, because the next ones are so much worse." Oh, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. So the first four judgments dealt mostly with the earth, in the things of the earth, the waters, the grass, the trees, all of those things, all of those issues. Now as we step into chapter 9, we're going to deal not with so much the things around us, but it's going to deal with men themselves. It's going to deal with the people themselves. It's not going to touch the earth, not going to have things happen to them. It's going to happen to the people. No wonder there's so much woe. You know, it's one thing to have a skunk in your yard digging up your lawn and getting grubs. It's another thing when the skunk gets rabid and attacks you. It's a whole different thing. You can handle a hole in the yard. You just get mad and kick it and all that. But when it starts running after you to bite you, that's a whole different thing. So here we come with chapter 9. And it says, "The fifth angel sounded." So after this angel flies through the heavens, speaking out the woes that are to come, the fifth angel then sounds. And we know it's progressive. We know there's a time period that goes on. We're going to see that as we get into the chapter. And right now, as we're in this, we're either right at the very end of the first 3.5 years, or we've entered into the second part of the 3.5 years. It's hard to say, and there's no real clarity in it, but we're close to the middle of the seven-year period of tribulation, and none of it is any good. So the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. We see a couple of things here. We see the star fall, and many, of course, believe that it's Satan falling. We see that from Isaiah chapter 14, as he pronounces his "I wills." We hear Jesus say in Luke chapter 10, verse 18, "And I saw Satan as lightning falling to the earth." And what we see here is this perfect tense of this word "fall," which really means having already fallen. So something has happened. So many believe that it's Satan. Some do not believe it. It doesn't say for sure. So we can't be that dogmatic about it, that it is or it isn't. But it certainly is a personage. It's not just a symbolic. Remember when Joseph had his dream, he said, "I saw the sun, the moon, and 11 stars." We see symbolically that he was talking about his brothers, mother and father. We see the stars falling in the last chapter. To earth to damage the waters, meteorites or stars themselves falling from heaven into the earth. This is more of a personage because in the last part of the verse it says "to him." So this is a personage. This is not a star in itself. This is either an ambassador of demonic being, or it's Satan, but it's someone who has the ability to be seen. So it's no matter what, it's a demonic being that's fallen. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. You know what excites me about this? Is that they can't do anything without God's hand giving it to them. They don't have the key. Jesus has the keys of the kingdom. They don't have the keys, which I'm very glad for. Could you imagine if demonic beings had the keys to the kingdom? Oh boy, we think it's bad now. it wouldn't be anything like it would be if they had the keys. And they can't do anything without God giving them the keys to do those things. And they were given the key of the bottomless pit. This is the same word as it is. Remember when Jesus went to see the demoniac in the Gadarenes? The demoniac, his name was Legion because there was so many demons in this man. And they cried out to Jesus and said, "Don't send us into the deep." The deep and this word here, the bottomless pit, the abyss, are the same word. So somewhere in this world, there's a shaft to the center of the earth. And boy, how it's sealed, I don't think it could be a door, but God has got them sealed in there, and there's demonic beings trapped in there until this being comes and unlocks it so that they can escape. Oh, and we think it's bad now. We hear the words, we see the TV programs, we look at the stuff that's going on, and we cringe. And yet when this door is opened, when this seal is broken, and they're allowed to come forth, oh, awful, awful time. And for all of us, so important for us to keep ourselves in the love of God. Because we can turn so quickly. That's one of my greatest fears, is that something is going to happen to me that's just going to trigger something that's just going to cause me to say, "God, I've had enough," and to just turn from Him and just encounter all the stuff that my flesh has put away since Jesus came into my life. And I want to keep myself in the love of God. For those that don't know Jesus, today is the day of salvation. We cannot let another day go by without you knowing who Jesus is, because He could come at any moment. We may not make it out of here, and I pray that so. I would love to go right through this and just be gone. I could leave my clothes here. I don't need them anyway. They're tattered. They're faded. The body certainly is faded. I'd love to see a new body. But today is the day of salvation for those who don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. For those who think they do, but have not made a commitment, have not made that bowing of the knee to Jesus Christ as Lord of their lives, today is the day to do that. And He opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Certainly a physical thing that's going to go on, that the smoke is going to rise out of the pit and things are going to come out with it. But also the smoke clouds things. I remember driving on Ridge Road in my younger years when Kodak was at full blast. And all those furnaces, all those chimneys, the smoke all over the place. And what did it do? It clouded the sun. It clouded the view of the sky. And that's what sin does. That's what demonic beings do. They cloud the truth, don't they? They cloud the truth from being known to people. And it's so hard to get through that. That's why we need to know Jesus, because he is the truth. And if we know him, we can know the truth no matter how clouded things become in the world. And certainly things are clouded in the world now. We've got COVID going on, and every time you turn on a channel or listen to somebody else, they have a different view. And you have no idea who's telling the truth and who's not telling the truth. You have no idea what's real, what's not real. And so that's why I look to Jesus and say, you sort it out, because I don't know. I'm just going to be careful, and I'm just going to keep going forward till you take me home. I love what Mike Aldabelli says. Don't threaten me with heaven. Because he'll surrender. I mean, it's just, yeah. I love that. You can threaten me with COVID, you could do whatever, but I'm going home. And what a blessing that is. So he opens the bottomless pit. There arose a smoke out of it. It's the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. The thing that's going to be hard for the people is, remember in the last chapter, it's already, the sun's already been darkened a third. Things have been darkened in the sky, so the sun is only there a third, two-thirds of the day instead of all three-thirds. It's not, whatever. It's not full. How's that? Thank you, Dave. So it's already been darkened. Now it's darkened even more. What does that do to your crops? What does that do with your air that you breathe? Talk about wearing masks now. Oh my goodness. What are you going to be? We're going to have to carry oxygen tanks around everyone. It's going to be amazing. It's all been darkened. Judgment has been clouded. Truth has been clouded. It's going to be harder to come to salvation because truth is so covered up. And unless you know Jesus, there's no way of getting through all of that cloud, all of that darkness. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And remember, as in the Old Testament, we saw in the last chapter as well as this chapter and in other places that these are some of the same plagues that are coming on the earth that came in Exodus with the children of Israel as they were coming out of Egypt. Some of the same things that are happening again. Remember the plague of locusts that was going on. And we talked about that before. That the locusts, and there's groups of locusts flying around the world right now that are just devouring everything in sight. And so the locusts come out through the smoke, and they come upon the earth. But notice, and unto them was given power. So again, they didn't have any power of their own until it was given to them by God. We say, boy, what a mean God. He darkens the sky. He hurts people. What was the purpose of the plagues in Exodus? The same purpose that's here. Not to hurt people, but to get people to wake up and to come to salvation, to come to the truth, and to come to realize that God is real, God is true, and then he will deliver them out of that into a better place, into the promised land. Oh, and that's what the Lord is doing here. The world thinks you're mean, God. He's not mean. He's just and righteous and true and holy. And the world does not know a God like that. Even most of the church does not know a God like that. But he is all that he says he is. But to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them, here we go again, the Lord, and he gives commandment to them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth. So during this time period, from when we started until now, there's been a time period, the grass has grown back. The grass has come back, but now it was commanded that they shouldn't hurt the earth. And we've got to realize that this is a different kind of locust than the normal locust, because what do locusts do? They eat everything that's green. They just come in and chomp. And you can hear them chomping from what I've read. You know, just, can you imagine? It's like the cicadas, you know, that you go around and you hear them everywhere. And here's these things just chewing right in your ear. You know, go away. Yeah, a lot of you. But it was commanded that they shouldn't hurt the grass of the earth. So it's a different kind of locust. Neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only the men. So now we've gone from the earthly things to people. They shouldn't hurt any green thing, any trees, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And right now on the earth, the only ones who don't have the seal of God in their, or that do have the seal of God in their foreheads, are the 144,000 Billy Graham evangelists that are Jewish, that are preaching the gospel to the world. Because remember, the rest of the saved have been martyred or raptured. So the only ones with the seal of God are the 144,000, and they're preaching the good news. So, in just like Israel, remember the first few plagues in Exodus? The plagues happened to Israel as well as Egypt. But the last few plagues only happened to Egypt, and Israel was spared. Just like here, spare the ones that have the seal of God in their foreheads. That's why it's so important to know your scriptures, because it just brings it alive even more. God, you're doing the same thing, almost the same way, and yet people are still not waking up. Isn't it amazing how much people will go through before they finally wake up and say, I can't do this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. And it's so wonderful when you hear somebody who's been on drugs for years and years, or somebody who's been an alcoholic for years and years, and all of a sudden, they wake up to the truth and say, I don't want to do this anymore. And it's at that point when they say that, that things can change in their lives, because until they get to that point of saying, I don't want this anymore, they will continue to do it. You can talk to an alcoholic or a druggie or a pornographer or whoever till you're blue in the face, but until they don't want to do it anymore, it's not going to change. And by God's grace, they're able to come to that place. So the locusts come out. They can't hurt the ones with the seal in their forehead. And to them, it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented. And remember, this whole chapter so far has been about judgment and truth being clouded. And so now they're in torment. And what happens with you and I? Remember in your BC days? You were tormented by your sin. You were tormented by your condition because you had no place to release it. You had no place to let it go. You had no one to take it for you. You had to keep it yourself. And you couldn't deal with it. So that's why you became a druggie. That's why you became an alcoholic, because you couldn't deal with life. You were tormented, because there was no place to let it go. And this is why they're tormented, because they're in delusion. Just like it says in 2 Thessalonians, that there's going to be a great delusion. And the delusion that they have is the same one that's in the world now, that we can be like God. And when did that start? Back in Eden. Did God really say, or is God just a liar? Or is God dead? Oh, I can tell you, he's alive. Oh, thank you, Lord. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. So there's a time period, 5 months. Isn't that God's grace? I hate to say it, but if it was up to me, I'd make them squirm a little bit more than 5 months. Just turn up the heat a little bit. But God is so gracious. God is so good. 5 months, a certain time period that he knows how long it's going to be. He's telling them how long it's going to be. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. So these locusts are coming up. They have the ability to sting like scorpions. And there's over 5,000 different types of scorpions in the world. Can you imagine? But only 50 of them are poisonous. So when you get stung by a scorpion, have your manual in your pocket, you pull it out, and you see if the picture matches the one that you're looking at that just stung you. By that time, you're dead. Guess what? You had a poisonous one. But all of them, when they inflict the pain, it causes welts, it causes respiratory problems, it causes... Certainly, your adrenaline starts going because you're going, am I going to die? And you start thinking about all these things, but it hurts. You get welts. You get raised skin because things are just, the strike, it hurts. It just hurts. And so the torment becomes a physical torment for them. Because of the delusion that they're under, as God strikes them and says, you can't be like me. You're not like me. I'm the only one. There's no Savior besides me. I know none, not one. And so these locusts come up, these demonic beings that have inhabited these beings, these creatures. I don't even want to see these things. I'm glad we're gone. I don't want to see these things. And in those days shall men seek death. It's going to be so bad, they're looking to die. But the horrible thing, well, not the horrible thing, and shall not find it. They're going to seek death, but they won't find it. They won't be able to kill themselves for 5 months. They're going to be tormented by these demonic creatures. They're going to be struck. They're going to want to die, and they won't be able to die. You know what? That's grace. It's giving them opportunity to come to Jesus. Because he could have just had those scorpions strike them, and they're dead. But then they're tormented for eternity. Remember Lazarus and the rich man? And he died. And he went to a place of torment. And it was going to be forever and ever and ever. And he said, go back. Somebody tell my brothers that they don't want to come here. As we are in the world to be witnesses of who Jesus is, we see what's coming. We know what's coming. And certainly our lives and our words should be witnesses to the world that you don't want to be here during this. You think you're going to be able to get through it. You think when you go to hell, you're going to have a party with all your friends. It's going to be so dark and so clouded, you won't even be able to see your friends. There's no Budweiser in hell. Sorry. Oh. So our lives should be that witness to the world. You don't want to go. I just want to die and get it over with. No, you don't, because it'll go on for eternity, 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 and you will never get out of it. Oh. They shall seek death and shall not find it. They shall desire to die because they're tormented by believing a delusion, by believing a lie, and death is going to flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses. Can you imagine John trying to write this? He sees these things and he goes, they're kind of like a horse. I don't know. A locust like a horse. I don't know about you. I've never seen one like that. Never put a saddle on a locust before. The shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. These are things that are ready for battle. There's horses that they would use for battles that know what battles are like, and they get their adrenaline starts going when they hear battle cries and when they start hearing war start. And there's other horses that are like you and I that just kind of, we hear battle cries and we run like crazy and go the other way. But these horses, they're ready for it. And they're excited to get into it. The horses were prepared for battle. And on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold. They had crowns, speaking of authority, thinking that they had authority, showing the world that they have authority over them. When there's an authority that's over them, they don't really have the authority. They're just pretending. Oh. And their faces were like the faces of men. Here we go. So we got a locust that looks like a horse, and he's got a man's face. People have called me a horse before, and other names, but I'm not going into that. Their faces were like the faces of men. So what that speaks of in the spiritual realm, supposedly men have an intelligence. Although you look at some men, and there really is no intelligence in there, but it speaks of the intelligence that's there. Look at the progression that goes on. And then they had hair as the hair of women. Oh boy. In the hair of a woman speaks of the glory of the woman. The glory that's there, the beauty. So it's intelligent, it's beautiful, and it has the teeth. We're like the teeth of lions. So you think this is an intelligent thing that you're following. It's beautiful, it brings pleasure, and then it tears you apart. Isn't that what sin does? It says sin is pleasurable for a season. And it feels good, and it looks good. And, oh, yeah, this is what I've been born for. And then it rips you apart, and it devours you. Peter talks about it, doesn't he? That our enemy goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Oh. The intelligence is there, the glory, the beauty's there, and then it rips you apart. And they had breastplates as breastplates of iron. And the sounds of their wings as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions. So we got locusts that are horses that have a man's face and women's hair and lion's teeth. And they got tails like scorpions. That is one weird creature. I mean, we got some weird creatures that God made, but I've never seen one like this. And there were stings in their tails, stings that would hurt, and the power to hurt men 5 months. Again, the grace period that God is giving them. Five in Scripture. As you go through Scripture, which is kind of cool, as you go through Scripture, five is the number of grace. He's just doing it for 5 months. He could do it for a lot longer, or he could make it a lot shorter. Either way you look at it, it's grace. And they had a king over them, which is not like locusts, because locusts do not have a king. As you see swarms of locusts, there's no king involved. But these have a king. In this king, we're going to see, which is an angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. Both mean the same thing, destroyer. Who is the king of these demonic beings? Satan. All of Satan's power being let loose upon the earth. Ugh. One woe is past. Oh, thank you, Lord. and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. As he emphasizes it, as we've gone through chapter 8, and he says, whoa, 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 and now he comes, you still got two more to go through. Oh. And then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, so we know God is speaking out from the altar. The sixth angel sounds, and God speaks, and he says to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. So we have these demonic beings. They're demonic because they're bound. They're not loosed. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Even the angels. We see some that are free, some that are bound. These are bound. These are demonic angels that have fallen with Satan. Up to a third of the angels fell with Satan when he fell. And they're bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, and they were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. So we're not dealing with trees and grass and rivers anymore. We're dealing with men. The fifth angel sounds and torment comes to men. The sixth angel sounds, and a third part of the men are slain. Remember, there's been a third of the population already killed before we even get to this judgment. The rapture's happened. A third part of the men are killed. Many have gotten saved because it says there was an innumerable company of martyrs under the altar. Dressed in white robes, so we know that many, many people have already gone, and yet a third of what's left are killed, are slain. We don't know the day or the hour, but God does. These four angels were prepared, and again, a time period for an hour, for a day, for a month, for a year, for this to happen. That's what they were prepared for. Oh, and they couldn't get loose on their own. Isn't it amazing? God still is in charge. I don't know about you. I don't want to be run by a demon. I want to be run by a God who's in control of everything. You can have your demon of drugs. You can have your demon of spirits. I want God. And he said to the sixth angel, loose those four angels. So evidently he's given power to this angel to loose those demonic beings which are in the river Euphrates. And again, for your Old Testament people, the first four rivers that are talked about in Scripture, Euphrates is one of them. It's the only one that we still know where it really is. And it's now here for a time period that the Lord is going to let these demonic beings loose on the great river Euphrates, and the four angels were loosed, and they were prepared to slay a third part of the men. Oh. And the number of the army of the horsemen, these locust horses or whatever there, were 200,000, 2 million men army, and I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and of brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions. Oh boy. So we've gone from horses that, locusts that look like horses, now we got horses that have heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. And look at what it says in verse 18. By these three was the third part of men killed. So the third part that were killed by the stuff that was coming out of the mouths of these horses that had lions' faces. Yuck. This is stuff that Stephen King would come up with, you know? Just, gah, awful stuff. Awful stuff. You just wonder where his mind went. And out of their mouths issued fire, smoke, and brimstone. And by these three things, the fire, the smoke, and the brimstone, was the third part of the men killed. Remember, Sodom and Gomorrah was overthrown by fire and brimstone. God is using the same things to get people's attention. They're still not paying attention. We got an island, forget where it is now, but it's the volcano has been erupting, and people are leaving the island as fast as they can because the smoke and the ash and everything else is just so much that it's killing people, and they have to get away. What's going to happen when you can't get away? Where do you go? There's no planes to take you. There's nothing to get away from it. Oh. And a third part of the men were killed for their power is in their mouth and in their tails. Oh boy, here we go. For their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. It doesn't say that they kill, but it says that they hurt. Oh. So if the front of the horse doesn't get you, the back of the horse is going to get you. Oh, boy. And the rest of the men, which were not killed by these plagues, look at this. This is so sad. The rest of the men that were not killed by these plagues, remember, there's already a third gone. Now another third of what's left is gone. So we've got over... two-thirds of the people are killed, so there's a third left, and look at what they do. They repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. Doesn't that sound like Isaiah talking? You know, they're worshiping things they make with their own hands. They cut down a tree. They use the third part of it to make an idol. The other two-thirds, they use it to cook with and to warm themselves. And then to have their God, they have to pick them up and carry them wherever they go. Said, how dumb is that? But don't you think they're doing the same thing that we're doing right now in the world? We're worshiping devils. Devil worship since COVID started has increased double-digit percentage. You think they turn to God? They're turning to Satan. Oh, Lord, help us, Lord. Help them. Worship devils, idols of gold. Men are worshiping riches. They still are. And then they can't take it with them. It doesn't save them. It doesn't free them from cancer. It doesn't free them from torment of loss of life. It doesn't save them from anguish over a divorce. It doesn't help them by realizing they're getting old and they can't stop the process. Silver, brass, stone, and of wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And neither repented they of their murders or of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Oh. And I hope you see a pattern here. Verse 20, verse 21. Verse 20 is the first table of the law, isn't it? The first part of the law about our worship of who God is. Verse 21 is the second table of the law, how we deal with mankind. Just like we separate the first four commandments are about God and our worship of Him, the last six are about how we deal with man around us. Verse 20, verse 21, first and second parts of the Ten Commandments. Oh. And Jesus simplified it, didn't he? And you'll love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you'll love your neighbor as yourself. The first part, the second part. It's always there. We just don't realize it. Lord, you are so good. And when you start seeing some of these things, you just, Lord, this book has got to be real. Because no man can put something together like this. Only the Spirit of God can do that. So we come to this place, and then we know that the next chapter is going to deal with the seventh woe, which opens up, the vial judgments. But that's going to take two chapters to get to it, which we don't have time for. Doug sits there and goes, phew, thank you. Well, let's see, I got one vote for. Oh, and Doug just muted me, so I'm done. But certainly an encouragement for us to come to faith. It's certainly an encouragement for us to keep ourselves in the love of God. Certainly an encouragement for us to keep going, to keep witnessing, to keep our hearts right with God so that we're always in a place so that we can be used by God. Oh. And certainly, when we go home and we pray tonight, we can sit there and say, thank you, Lord, that I'm not going to have to face this. Because the blood of Jesus Christ was shed so that I could be free. The judgment that I deserve, because folks, you know what? As much as we think that we're okay or we're good, we deserve what's going on in chapter 9. We deserve every part of that because we're guilty. God doesn't distinguish between murder and a lie because they're all the same to him. It's sin, and sin has to be dealt with. It has to be judged. There has to be consequences, and the consequences we deserve, we see in the judgments. But thank you, Lord, our judgment was poured out on Jesus on the cross. Oh, we will never face the judgment that we deserve because of the blood of Jesus, because of what he's done for us. And that should be enough to make us thankful every single moment of every day. Ah. So, Father, we come. Lord, forgive us for our dissatisfaction with the way our lives are, with the way things are. When we put things in perspective, Lord, we realize we've got everything that we need in you. We thank you. We praise you. We love you, Lord. We just ask that you just minister to our hearts. And Lord, for any that aren't saved, that they would turn to Jesus today, repent of their sins, come to faith. Come to the understanding of who they are in Christ and who they can be in Christ and walk with you. For us, Lord, help us. We need your help every single day. Father, thank you that our judgment has already been dealt with. Thank you, Lord, for the precious price that you paid for us. We're not deserving. We haven't earned it, but Lord, you've given it to us as a free gift, given as a gift to your bride. Thank you, Lord. May we rejoice in it. May we remember it. May we walk in the truth of it, Lord, as we walk towards you. May we not turn around and try and walk in our old ways, but Lord, to walk in the new way, to walk after you. And Lord, we don't know where the new way is. But Lord, you said you were the way, the truth, and the life. So Lord, let us follow after you, because a good shepherd is always going to lead his people. And so, Father, we just want to follow you. Thank you, Lord, that we can. Thank you, Lord, that you've made a way. And thank you, Lord, for your grace. We love you and we praise you. And we just ask it all in Jesus' name. Let's